Nice to see you all tonight. I'm Bob Alderman, privileged to be your leader and guide, and I pray not your misleader, but we're a great group together tonight. We estimated about 40 grandparents here, and probably not that many. Thank you, Ben. Let's start out in Psalm 71, if you will. Take your Bible. This is going to be a Bible study on this matter of getting old in life. And when we cover a subject about grandparents, I just assume some of us have a little age on us. And I was shocked in the other session when my wife and I were the only ones that had been married. That can't be right. Some of you, how many of you have been married over 50 years? Could I see you? My wife's not even, where's my wife? Oh, she didn't even raise a hand. I was beginning to wonder, am I the only one? Well, I'm going to use a Bible text tonight that I almost got in a lot of trouble for. I was doing a grandparents' day at our Christian school up in Roanoke, and we in Roanoke now, aren't we? And I kept referring to old gray-headed people. And that week, a fine young businessman came in and said, Pastor, I want you to know my mother came in for Grandparents' Day, but she really is upset with you. And I mean, he was serious. And I said, man, I'm sorry. What in the world happened? He said, well, it was when you kept referring to old gray-headed people, and my mother took resentment toward that. And I said, oh, really? I'm so sorry. I said, but when you came into this church, you yourself told me that you really believed and loved the Bible. And he said, yeah, but what's that got to do with you upsetting my mama? And I said, well, I was just quoting the Bible when I was talking about old gray-headed people. And he said, you were. And I said, so I showed him the verse that I'm going to launch from tonight. You have Psalm 71. I want to have a brief prayer with you. And then we're going to get into a Bible study that deals with old gray-headed people, okay? If you resent that up front, just stay tuned, and I'll try to get your resentment washed away from you when you see the tremendous advantage that we have of being old and gray and a head on our place and doing things for the Lord in those years of life, in these years. Father, we are grateful for your truth. We're grateful for your love. We're grateful for the joy of fellowship with friends like these. And as we experience the privilege of grandparenting and the responsibility that we have to the next two generations, at least, fill our lives with the truth of your word that we may serve you well and bless those next generations greatly. Give me wisdom tonight to understand what your Bible says, and to relate to my friends that are here tonight in a way that will honor you and bless our grandchildren and our children. And I thank you in my Savior's name. Amen. Amen. I'm going to tell you a little thing. Harold has asked me also tomorrow morning to do the plenary session out and to do a message that I did April the 23rd earlier this year on legacy. So there'll be a little switch over in some of these, and so you'll get a head jump on some of that, maybe. All right, Psalm 71. I want you to look at the key verse that I'm going to launch from, and then I'm going to outline Psalm 71, and we're going to take a pilgrimage from the womb all the way to grandparenting. Psalm 71, verse 18. Now, also when I am old and gray-headed, O God, forsake me not until I have shown your strength unto this generation and your power even to everyone that is to come. That's where we are, grandparents. We've got a lot to look at in the past. Some of you are young, some of you are younger, some of you may be a teeny bit older. But we are in that stage now where we can properly and proudly call ourselves grandparents. And before I go any further, I want to introduce you to my wife. She is Amelia. She's sitting in the back. She's showing a little signs of aging, but she's a whole lot younger than I am. And no, she's dealing with a medical problem in a hip. So you see her with a cane. To give you a little bit of the background from which she and I are coming to you today. We have four children. All of them know and love the Lord. They are serving Christ in one way or another, either in business or in Christian ministry. All of them married Christian mates. All of them involved in faithful Bible Christian churches. All of them have produced grandchildren for us. We have 9 grandchildren. They keep changing this number, but 4 or 5 of our grandchildren are married. We have 4 great-grandchildren, 2 coming real soon. That'll make it 6. My wife and I have never known a day we did not know each other. We were born just a few months apart and just a few yards apart, and we never knew a day that we weren't friends, except when we weren't friends. Or should I say, when we weren't friendly. We did go through some of the turmoils, not nearly as difficult as some of the rest of you have. So I'm glad to have her in the class tonight. I'll hear from her later when we get home of the things I should have said, etc. Now let's go back to verse 18. Verse 18, now also when I am old and gray-headed, forsake me not until I've done some things. And what I want to do is to walk through several words that describe the background of a life that comes to that age and then begins to think, I've still got some major assignments to do. So in verse 18, the prayer is given, forsake me not. I got good news for you. God's not thinking about even forsaking us. He promised us early in life. He said, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. You are mine and I am yours. So when you get old and you begin to think things are changing, I'm changing on the inside. I'm changing on the outside. I'm outside of the workplace. I can't play games anymore. And we begin to sit around and listen to the mourners and the groaners, and we begin to think, I'm on the shelf now. God's word comes back and says, no, you're not. Now, one of the reasons I hate to teach this is because I'd really like to quit myself. And some of you are the same way, and you're saying, Alderman, don't talk me into trying to think that I still got some miles left in me. I know that feeling. We all go through it. It's a temptation. We give in to it. But when we get into this age group, there's a lot to be thankful for. Let me add another note. I know some people don't even like to tell their age. I'd like to change your opinion on that. Be thankful for every day the Lord gives you. And I enjoy telling people that Amelia's 80 years old. And I enjoy telling them I'm older. And we are enjoying these years of our lives, and I trust you are. But when we get to verse 18, it's because some certain things have come before, and I want to talk with you a little bit about them. If you look at the top of your notes there, the prayer, the persecution, the praise, the plea, the purpose, and more praise of an old gray-headed man. What chapter 71 does is just go back through, he just goes back through his life. And he says, all of these things have impacted my life. And now that I'm old and gray-headed, I still want to make a major contribution to life. So I want to go back and study with you just briefly, and I know we're getting worn out a little bit at this late hour. I want to study with you just a little briefly of the things that you and I can look back into our lives and say, now I know that when I am old and gray-headed and I'm wondering if you're going to forsake me and I'm thinking about throwing in the towel anyway, what contributions came my way early in life? Now, I know this, that for every one of us, we've gone through different paths. We've experienced different things. We've heard testimonies tonight and yesterday of different kind of hard situations in life and yet victories. When we heard the beautiful testimony of the Moors tonight, we're just so grateful. Ed, I'm glad you got it all worked out, brother. I'd have never been blessed by your life and ministry for these last 30 years. And glad both of you got it worked out. So let's go back in life and see what's taking place. Number one is the prayer aspect of the old gray-headed man that said that. So as you look down through, your notes, verse 1, here's the prayer life. Let me never be put to confusion. And that word confusion is the same. That's a very simple thing to pray. So this man or woman, whoever wrote, I think it was David, started out just saying to God, I'm starting on my journey. Don't ever let me be put to shame. Keep my life the way you want to keep it. All of us have not done that. We've gone through valleys. We've gone through trials. We've made mistakes. We've piled up all the problems in life. We've nurtured those problems and made them worse. But here is a part of the prayer life that you had. You've been praying something similar to this, so you would not be at a prayer advance. You would not be coming from the kind of churches that are holding the Bible open and giving it. So in the prayer life, verse 1, let me never be put to confusion. Not a bad prayer for us to keep on praying. In verse 2, he has another part of his prayer life. Deliver me in your righteousness and cause me to escape. We've been hearing testimonies and sermons since we got here that the whole process of forgiveness is becoming unshackled. We've been delivered. We've been put into a category of having escaped the problems that could have ruined us. That's a part of prayer life. As you look back over your life, some of you may have only been saved for 1 or 2 years. Some of you probably have been saved for 50 to 60 years. Look back through your life and remember those days when you were in the shackles. Maybe been at a high school time or college time, work time. Just look back over the times when our Lord came and visited you and unshackled you from all of that. Verse 2 again, another part of the prayer life. Incline your ear unto me. We can look back. I'm just going through things that you experienced in your prayer life. I've experienced them in mine. And God is moving me through all of these things, through youth. And you could take a look at some of these verses where the womb is mentioned, the time of birth, early in life. Just realize, you know, that was God doing something then in my childhood praying that has prepared me for verse 18, when I'm old and gray-headed. Let's move on down. Verse 2, save me. Verse 2, incline your ear unto me. Verse 2, save me. Verse 3, be my strong habitation. Verse 6, verse 4 again, deliver me. Verse 9, cast me not off. Now you say, okay, you're reading all that. Anybody can stand up and read all of that and look. And that's common with us. But wait a minute. During all those years when we were crossing Fool's Hill, I don't know about you, any of you old enough to know when all the preachers looked at the teenagers that were 16 years old and just say, you're crossing Fool's Hill? Yeah. How many of you remember that? Did you sit under that kind of slander from the pulpit? Well, we went over Fool's Hill, and these were part of the prayers that our parents prayed for us. Deliver him, set him free. But prayer life, just think about that. And you're at a prayer advance, so we may need to be praying these prayers for our children, our grandchildren. So get to it, and let's do it. I want to take a look at some of this praying very quickly with you, because there's a strong accent this week on this matter of our Lord unshackling us from the bondages that hold us. And one of my favorite parts of the Bible that speaks about the emancipation, the kind of praying that we just read about, is in Colossians chapter 1, verse 12. I call this my favorite scripture on emancipation and proclamation. Let me read it for you. We're giving thanks unto the Father who has made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. That's a fantastic statement. Thanks unto the Father who has equipped us to be partakers of the saints in light. Keep in mind that as we went through our spiritual growth, God was saying, I'm getting you ready for the days when you're going to pray a prayer. Now that I am old and gray-headed, I'm accenting that to say we're moving toward that. Looking around, some of us have already arrived. Somebody asked me the other day, said, what happened to your hair? They'd seen an old picture, and I said, well, there are two kinds of people called men on this earth, and one is their hair turns gray and their hair turns loose. I happen to be in the latter category. But keep in mind that all this kind of praying that is going on through our living from the womb all the way into old age. Let me go back to Colossians. Giving thanks unto the Father who has made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of light, and who has delivered us from the power of darkness. And that's great in and of itself. Set free. Brother Ed gave us a tremendous challenge and blessing tonight when he talked about getting the arrows out and being free from all of that. And Brother Ed and his wife gave us a thrilling, great experience, and others of you have as well. God doesn't stop when he just gets the arrows out. The next part of these verses is this. And then he has translated us into the kingdom of his dear son. So when you were born, when I was born, God said, these babies are going to grow old. I'm going to have an assignment for them when they're old and gray-headed. And I'm going to start preparing them for that assignment through this prayer. The emancipation, the deliverance, the proclamation of translated into his kingdom. Therefore, you and I, kingdom livers. We are living a part of the kingdom. Now, let me ask, does that element on prayer make any sense to you? You get the idea of what I'm saying? It's the praying of your grandparents, praying of your parents, the praying that you started doing as a child, and all of those things we just thought when we were growing up. Well, Mom and Dad taught me to pray, and they prayed for me, they prayed with me. Now, how's all that culminating in my own life? Well, I am 80. I get to verse 18, and I say, where would I be with a concern like this verse 18 has if I had not come through the pilgrimage of prayer in that particular fashion? I want to ask you a question. This may hurt, but how many of you pray for every one of your children, every one of your grandchildren, specifically, by name, every day? Don't raise your hands. Are you doing that? I mentioned one day in either a Bible class or a sermon that my wife and I pray for all of our children every day, all their mates every day, by name, all of our grandchildren, all of our great-grandchildren. We pray for them by name every day. I don't tell you that to sound prayerfully egotistical at all, because I don't want to do that. But I tell you that to tell you what happened when the sermon was over. Somebody came rushing to me and said, Pastor, that shocked me. I thought that once they moved out of the house, our responsibility was over. And the reason I bring it up now is, if we are preparing our children and our grandchildren for the days when they grow old and gray-headed, days and years after we have gone on home, I want to make sure that I'm praying for those children. So as they go through the prayer life that Mama and Daddy and Granny and Granddaddy and Nanny and Pa did for them, that when they get to verse 18 in their own experience, they'll be able to account for the kind of prayer life that we gave to them. Does that make sense? Now, that simply means if that makes sense, then all of us need to start encouraging these other grandparents who are not here to understand how prayer makes a child of the future victorious in serving yet the generations that follow them. Now, I'm going to go quickly. Pardon me for doing this. The next word I want to comment on is praise. After the praying, praise begins. So look at it. I didn't write out all the verses in your notes. I gave you the reference. But watch this as he moves through the understanding of his life. Verse 5, for you are my hope, O Lord God. You are my trust from my youth. By you have I held up from the womb. You are let me go back to verse 6 and try to find a place and get started. By you have I been held up from the womb. You are he that took me out of my mother's bowels. My praise, my praise, my praise shall be continually in my life. So prayer is followed by praise. There's another testimony in verse 8. Let my mouth be filled with your praise and with your honor all the day. So here's still a part of my growing up experience. The prayer experience and the praise experience is added to it. And all of that goes into making me the kind of individual and you the kind of individual. So when I get to that statement where people are looking at Bob Alderman and says, there's that old gray-headed man, he still wants to be used of God some way. And then I hope that they will think, you know, I bet it had to do with the way his grandparents and his parents prayed for him. I bet it had to do a lot with the way his parents and his grandparents praised the Lord for him. I bet it has to do with all of that coming together, because that's the background of the man who prays this in verse 18. Lord, I'm old, I'm gray-headed, I still want to be doing something for the next generation. Let's take a look again now at another matter. Not only do we live through prayer, not only do we live through praise, but we also live through some persecution. I don't know how many friends I've talked to since just coming to this prayer advance that have talked about problems that they have in families, in churches, and business life. And we go through all kinds. And if you think persecution that you and I and our generations has been tough, the next generation that we're leaving, we haven't seen anything like they're going to be faced. You know, there is a movement on in America now to have Christianity legally classified as a terrorist organization. I went on the internet today. I was thinking about this whole matter of, I spoke to the men on the responsibility of being manly. The Bible says, quit you like men. That's old King James language. Quit you like men. Act like a man. Be strong like a man. Be brave like a man. And so I wanted to see what is happening to the society about manliness again. So I went on the internet just very quickly this morning. I found out that in California and I think in Nevada, you can actually get your gender changed on your birth certificate with the same kind of procedure of getting your address changed on it. You know, what in the world has happened? Well, it's a movement against basically these kind of situations that we see in the scripture of prayer, praise, and persecution. Now, the persecution is outlined for us in verses 10, 11, 12, and 13. Let me very quickly just give you a taste of it. Verse 10, my enemies speak against me, and they lay wait for my soul. They take counsel together, saying, God has forsaken him and persecuted and taken him, and there is none to deliver him. That's what our children, our grandchildren are going to face. Every one of us can look back in life and realize there were times when I went through persecution. None of us have escaped it, but nothing on the scale that our friends in the Middle East are doing, and nothing on the scale that your grandchildren are going to face right here in America. But here is prayer and praise and persecution all taking place. I want to go to the next word, and I've already covered it just in a little bit, and that's the plea. I've read it already in verse 18. Here's a plea. Now also when I am old and gray-headed, O God, forsake me not. Don't throw me on the trash pile. Don't put me on the shelf. And one of the things key lessons that I'm trying to learn for myself and trying to share with you tonight is that that's not going to happen. And that kind of praying does not happen until there is something of a background that was probably started by my grandparents and continued by my parents. And I was able to enjoy it when I came into from the mother's womb into childhood, that there was that prayer element that we've just gone through very quickly. And there's a praise element. Then there's a persecution that comes and tries to stop it. And you know what? He nurtured on the praise. He went through the persecution. And now he gets to his plea. It's a simple thing. Lord, I'm old, I'm gray-headed. I think I've already mentioned that habit. Old and gray-headed, but I don't want to be stopped. I want to keep going. I want to have something to say, and I want to have something to do. Does that make sense? Now, I want to ask you, how many of you have had the courage to ask God for something to do while you're old and gray-headed? I hear a lot of people saying, I got 10 more days to retirement. I'm going to retire in 5 years, 2 months, and 3 hours. What are we looking at? Are we looking at this spirit of verse 18 as grandparents? Are we looking at privilege, not just responsibility, with grandchildren and great-grandchildren? Or are we looking at the time when the couch is going to look good and the lounge is going to feel better? I'm sorry I even asked that, because I know people like you. You came to a prayer advance, you fired up and ready to go. So I shouldn't be talking about ready to quit. But what keeps us going like that? I go back. What's the first thing? When I do this, that means you fill in the blank. What's the first thing? Second thing? What's the third thing? And use a few adjectives with it, like living through persecution. And then what's the final, what's the fourth thing? And that is making the plea. God, here I am. I don't want to quit. I want to be used. I want to find something. Let's go to the word purpose. What was the purpose? The purpose very clearly spelled out. Who would like to just tell me the purpose? I haven't let you talk a lot tonight because I'm rushing. We're tired and worn out. At least I am. I don't know about you, but... I can't handle these late hours as well. but what's the purpose of that plea that he made? Somebody look it up and tell us all.
Generation, buddy, help me with it. Help me get through it.
That's exactly right.
Point the way. Be a leader.
Yeah, thank you. That's it. Thank you, Coach. That's Coach, by the way. I don't know your real name, but you just said it was Coach. But I've been blessed by your fellowship with you earlier today. Thank you. Look at it in verse 18. Let's see what the purpose is very clearly. O God, forsake me not until I have shown your strength unto this generation and your power to everyone to come. I'm just going to go ahead and tell you a little bit about some of my thought processes. I am spiritually ready to die, ready to go on. I've not gotten everything physically in line. There's some other things I'd like to do, but if I don't get those done, somebody else can do them after I get out of here. But one thing that is constantly on my mind, and I pray that if it's not on yours, I can put it on there. Get it from verse 18. God, I want to make sure that I poured out my life for the next generation and the generation after that and for all to come. That's one of my heavy burdens, one of my heart cries. And I spend personally a lot of private time thinking, what could I do now? What may I do next? How may I transfer to my children, my grandchildren, my great-grandchildren the spirit of Christian victory that the Lord has allowed Amelia and me to live together in their presence? And I think about times like the victory that we have at prayer advances. And I think about the times in my own past when my children still laugh at me. When Amelia and I got married, they said, Dad, what did you and Mama do on the honeymoon? I said, we went to a Bible conference, etc. And we did. And I think about all of that, and I think, I hope I'm leaving the kind of testimony that will thrill my children and my grandchildren. But I also know they've got a lot more to overcome than I had to overcome when I was growing up. We need to make sure that the commitment of being old and gray-headed fulfills that plea that we have. Now, there's another word, the purpose that we just studied in verse 18. And then verses 19 to 24, more praise. Let's just follow along. I'm trying to read. I'm having a little trouble getting focused on these words. But let me just read. Here is more praise. Let's finish this out with this kind of praise and attitude. Thy righteousness also, O God, is very high. Who has done great things? O God, who is like unto you? You which have shown me great and sore troubles shall quicken me again and shall bring me up again from the depths of the earth. You shall increase my greatness and comfort me on every side. I will also praise you with the psaltery, with the truth, and your truth I'll praise. O my God, unto you will I sing with the harp, O Lord, Holy One of Israel. My lips shall greatly rejoice when I sing unto you, and my soul, which you have redeemed. My tongue also shall talk of your righteousness all the day long, for they are confounded, for they are brought under shame that seek my hurt. Now, I rushed through all that. You need to forgive me for doing that. I rushed through it. But I hope I just outlined a little bit of something for you to begin to think about as you and I have the privilege of grandparenting and great-grandparenting. As we have the privilege, some of you have had the privilege of being birthed in a Christian home, a home where grandparents and godly parents nurtured you. They brought you through the whole matter of strategic kind of praying, unhindered praise. They brought you through the trials and the troubles that you've had, and you've come out on the other end with victory and great rejoicing. You've understood that by the time you began to get a little maturity under you, that you needed to understand God's purpose and call for your life. And then you needed to understand what that purpose was going to require of you as he revealed your will. And he did, and he led you through it. I wish we had time to hear every one of you tell the testimony of God's major movements in your life and how you were thrilled that you listened and got through. Now let's keep telling the testimonies to our children and our grandchildren. And let's have a heart to try to understand how strategic and key we are. None of this has to do with going to your daughter-in-law's house and telling her she's not treating your son well. None of it has that kind of takeover bossism. But it does have to do with humility before God and before our children. To let them know my heart's cry for you. It's not what kind of car you drive or how much you're paying off on your mortgage every month, but how you're growing and understanding the strength and the power of God. Prayer, praise, victory in the persecution, purpose in life, plea for the purpose fulfillment, and praise when it's done. Question. Does that make sense? I don't want you to think it's Bob Alderman's philosophy. I don't want you to think it's a paperback book on how to grow old and not quack. But I want you to know this is God's design for us to be growing old and gray-headed, also called grandparents. Thank you for letting me share with you. Been a delight and an honor. I hope it's made sense. If it hasn't made sense, you got a set of the notes. You may write on them and mail them to me with all of your corrections. All right. Let's just take a moment and pray, and I'll lead that prayer. Thank you, Father, for friends like these who do stuff like this, leaving whatever they left to get to a prayer advance. Thank you, Father, that we do that without shame. We do it with a great sense of gratitude. And we pray that our very presence in this building this week has been a testimony of grace in a place where undoubtedly there's a lot of hanky-pank going around from throughout the year. But thank you, Father, that we could sing your praises, open your Bible, show our love for you and for each other, understand what your word says to us about our day-to-day walk with you. Be honored, we pray, in the lives of our children, our grandchildren, our great-grandchildren, our influence to each other as we together grow old and age with the thrill of not being forsaken. And this, my prayer, is in the name of your Savior, your Son, and my Savior, who gave us permission to come into your presence. Amen. Amen. Amen.